Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM, and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Montana has become the first state in the country to completely ban TikTok. The law will try to prevent new downloads from app stores, but intelligence analyst Alan Liska says it will be difficult.
Even if Google and Apple put in some sort of restriction in the app store to prevent those kind of downloads from the state of Montana, drive across state lines, get a VPN, all of those things will allow you to very easily and quickly bypass it.
The law goes into effect in January. Prince Harry and his wife Meghan Markle say they were chased by paparazzi after attending a charity event in Midtown Manhattan Tuesday night. Here's CBS's Errol Barnett.
At one point, the couple jumped into the back of Suk Chong Sing's yellow cab outside the 19th precinct, but he only drove them around for about 10 to 15 minutes.
They were following us the whole time. You know, there was nothing reckless or anything like that, but they were following us.
The couple finally arrived at the police station where they were able to switch cars and get home safely.
And the photo agency says they'll investigate. They take the allegations very seriously. An 8-year-old migrant died in federal U.S. custody after crossing the southern border yesterday with her family. The family was being held inside a U.S. Border Patrol station in Texas when they say she died after experiencing a medical emergency. They had transported her to a local hospital where she was pronounced dead. The agency says they'll conduct a thorough investigation. Embattled Congressman George Santos won't be expelled from the U.S. House, at least for now. Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
U.S. House Democrats were trying to get a vote to expel George Santos, the troubled first-term congressman from New York who faces 13 federal criminal charges, including fraud, or at a minimum, put Republicans on the record defending him. But Republican House leaders intervened instead, voting to formally refer the matter to the House Ethics Committee, which is already investigating Santos.
13-year-old Owen Burns from Alpena Township, Michigan, used a slingshot to fend off a 17-year-old who attempted to kidnap his little sister. WWTV's Joni Meissen.
I seen her again, abducted by a person, and I'm like freaking out.
Owen panicked and reached for what he could.
And I'm like, started cussing a lot because I didn't know what to do, so I grabbed my slingshot and open the window, and I grabbed two things, a marble and a gravel rock or something.
Troopers say Owen hit the 17-year-old in the head and in the chest, allowing his sister to get away.
This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Next up, Straight Talk from Doug.
Ever notice that saying no offense is offensive? Like, no offense, but you're overpaying for your wireless. See? Offensive.
That's the Straight Talk talking. Get unlimited plans as low as $35 a month from Straight Talk on America's most reliable 5G network. Available at Walmart and Walmart.com. On the $35 plan, first 10 gigabytes data at high speed, then 2G speeds. Refer to the latest terms at StraightTalk.com. Based on most first place ranking, root metrics, second half 2022 assessments of 125 metros. Experiences vary, not an endorsement.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Taking it to the street. As long as there are veterans, the benevolent and protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 74. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 50. Overcast again tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 61. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the noon hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Madnair and Craig Bach on Wednesdays. And we are joined by Craig Gilbert, chronicler of close Wisconsin elections. He is a Luber Center Fellow at Marquette Law, and he is recently, I guess not so recently anymore, retired from being the Washington Bureau Chief and National Political Reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And so this is a guy who has covered a lot of Wisconsin elections, and we're so excited to have you on the show today, Craig. Welcome.
It's great to be with you.
And so I was interested, I mean, I've been wanting to get you on the show, but you still write for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel occasionally, and you had a couple leading up to and then directly after the Supreme Court election in April, but then you also put out one this month, I think a week ago, that basically was titled, What 30 Years of Voting History Tells Us About Wisconsin's Shifting Suburban Vote. And so I wanted to, because you've looked at so many of the numbers for this, and we're sitting in Waukesha right now, and kind of walking through what the suburbs look like these days and where they've come from. And so I guess the first question kind of is, like, what do we actually consider the suburbs of Wisconsin?
So good question. I mean, that's one reason why I wrote the column. I mean, we talk about the suburbs like they're sort of a thing, like they're an entity. There's no definition of a suburb. You know, the government uses sort of different classifications for suburbs. There's so many different ways to kind of slice and dice this. But part of the point of the column is that even though, you know, on the whole, the suburban vote is quite competitive and it's, you know, much more purple than the rural vote, quote unquote, or the urban vote. But that suburban vote includes some really, really red places, including in the Wow counties, and some really, really blue places on the outskirts of Milwaukee and Madison. So you really got to kind of drill down and look at the political diversity of these suburban areas, as well as how they're trending and shifting over time.
Because, like, I think this is always interesting in a place like Wisconsin, where there is, you know, it's unlike our neighbors to the south of Illinois, there is Chicago, and there's a bunch of suburbs around Chicago. And then, like, the rest of the state is like a third, maybe a fourth of the population. But here we have Milwaukee, we have Madison, but then we have a lot of cities that are cities onto themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is Wausau Wausau is not a suburb, but it's the same size as Brookfield, and Brookfield is definitely a suburb, right?
Yeah, I mean, I said my definition of a suburb, you know, it has to be in a metropolitan area, and I'm looking at, you know, the major metropolitan areas of Wisconsin, because that's where you have sort of the most suburban communities. And so, you know, if you look at, you know, the biggest suburban, you know, swatch in the state is around Milwaukee, but that includes some very different kinds of places. You've also got the suburbs of Madison. You've got suburbs outside Green Bay and Appleton. And then you've got a sort of a small cluster of outer suburbs in western Wisconsin that are kind of on the periphery of Minnesota's Twin Cities. But most of that suburban vote, certainly the biggest chunk, is in the Milwaukee metropolitan area. And then you've got these sort of growing suburbs outside of Madison as well.
And so, as you said, there is, it's basically where the most varied partisan spectrum still survives in Wisconsin, because the big, the metro areas being pretty reliably blue and the rural areas being pretty reliably red. But between the different suburbs, or what we've defined as suburbs, or you did in your article, where, what are kind of the trends that make it more, make certain places still more red versus leaning more blue, as far as either income, industry, like demographics?
So demographics, it's interesting because, you know, demographics tell you a lot, but there's also a limit to what they can tell you. I mean, I always used to marvel at the fact that if you looked at Dane County and Ozaukee County side by side, in some ways they have pretty similar demographics historically. They're both very white. They're both among, you know, at the top of sort of income and education in among the state's counties. And yet for decades, you know, Dane County was pretty much the bluest significant county in Wisconsin, and Ozaukee County for a long time was the reddest, but they had a lot in common demographically. So obviously demographics doesn't determine everything. Yeah. I mean, you have to look at, you mentioned political culture. I mean, obviously it sort of makes sense that the suburbs around Madison are going to be pretty liberal, given the presence of state government, the presence of the university, the kinds of, you know, industries and businesses that spin off of having the university there. It, you know, when you think about it, it makes sense that those suburbs are blue and getting increasingly blue.
And so what has been kind of the main, I guess the main thesis from what, looking at data from the last 30 years, have you summed up as far as what's changed?
Yeah, so what's changed is, for a long time, you know, the suburbs were kind of spinning apart in Wisconsin. For example, you know, the blue suburbs around Milwaukee and Madison were just getting continuously bluer. And the WOW counties, you know, the three Republican suburban counties, were getting redder and redder in relation to the rest of the state. This was going on from in the 1990s and the 2000s and into the 2010s. And then about 8 years ago, after the 2014 election, you know, we're kind of talking about 2016 to 2023. You could sort of call that the Trump era if you want to. Mm-hmm. That trend changed, that pattern changed. And what's happening is now they're all kind of moving in the same direction. They're all becoming collectively, you know, more favorable to the Democratic Party, for the Democratic Party, which means some of those red areas are getting less red, and those blue areas are getting bluer. Now, it's happening quite dramatically in some of these suburban communities. Like, the speed with which Ozaukee County is getting less red is kind of head turning. Other places like Washington County, which is more blue collar than Ozaukee County, isn't really changing much. I mean, the suburbs around, the Republican leaning suburbs around Green Bay, are getting a little less Republican, but not dramatically so. But together, this turf on the whole used to be quite favorable for Republicans, and now it's pretty much up for grabs.
We're talking to Craig Gilbert, who is a Lubar Center Fellow at Marquette Law and was also the former Washington Bureau Chief and National Political Reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about his most recent article about the changing, evolving suburbs of Wisconsin and their voting habits. And I guess, and I don't know if the data you looked at tells you this, because what you just said, as far as if there is one trend, it is that the suburban areas are getting bluer in varying degrees. But how much of that is the makeup and the attitudes changing of the people who are living in these areas versus the Republican Party changing?
So I think we have examples of both. Okay. I mean, if you think about, again, the growth of the Dane County suburbs, a lot of new people coming in. They vote Democratic. If you look at some of the, even the inner suburbs north of Milwaukee, some of these suburbs have really changed a lot over time. They used to be actually red, and now some of them are really, really blue. So clearly the composition of the electorate in some of these places, in some suburban communities, are getting more racially diverse, and that's having an impact on how they vote. But then when you look at, you know, when you look at the WOW counties and you look at parts of Waukesha and Ozaukee County, where the changes we're talking about, this sort of trend of getting less red, has been so dramatic so recently that it can't be explained through population shifts because the population hasn't changed enough, mm-hmm. you know, to cause an area to go from, you know, plus 35 Republican to plus 15 Republican in a few years. So I look there. I mean, the most sort of persuasive explanation there for me in these cases is people are reacting to the parties and they're reacting to changes in the parties. And obviously the biggest change sort of in the partisan landscape in this period of time we're talking about has been sort of Donald Trump and the image of the Republican Party being so closely connected to Donald Trump. And just as that has made the Republican Party more attractive for some rural voters, it's making it less attractive for some suburban voters.
And because that's what I think is so interesting of, like, how much does this still, especially when we see like the 11-point win in April for Judge Janet, how much does that hinge on just that one issue versus, you know, the same people in the WOW counties who gave Scott Walker decidedly, like, very much put him in the office, you know, also then voted for the person who could undo Act 10. And so is it, like you said, like the reaction to the party, or is it's kind of this one big issue that is floating over our state so long as we have a 1849 criminal abortion ban?
Yeah, so abortion is a big deal. And obviously it's, you know, it is certainly a significant part of the dynamic when you look at, you know, post-Dobbs, you look at the 2022 November election and you look at the 2023 spring election. Abortion is definitely a real, very real part of the story, and it's going to be a very real part of the story going forward. On the other hand, if you look at these trends, when you step back and look at them over a longer period of time, and you look again, sort of go back to the erosion of Republican strength in these Republican suburban counties, that began well before Dobbs. I mean, the sort of 2014 election, Walker's final victorious election, was sort of the high water mark. 2012 presidential and 2014 governor, kind of the high water mark for Republican strength in the WOW counties. And then, you know, it changed, and it started changing with the 2016 presidential election. Then it continued in the 2018 midterms, and it continued in the 2020 election. And so that all happened before before Dobbs. You could say it maybe happened for some related reasons. And obviously the Dobbs decision is in its own way a legacy of the Trump presidency.
Absolutely. We got to go to a break really quickly, Craig, but we're going to still be here with Craig Gilbert when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
What's buried in the back pages was on the front just yesterday. And old news never dies, though they say it just fades away. Crime and murder, business and politics, and international strife. It's all the same, find someone to blame. It's there in black and white. It's all the same.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a high of 70. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, lows around 56. Cloudy skies expected. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow, highs level off around 67, cloudy. Upper 60s Saturday, mid-70s Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently,
seems like everyone
degrees.
Is divided these days.
Oscar is frozen custard. The other, root beer at John's Drive-In.
Can't we find some common ground?
The Shaw. W-A-U-K.
Interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. Or I meet politicians.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We are joined by Craig Gilbert, who is the a Lubar Center Fellow at Marquette Law School and was the Washington Bureau Chief and National Political Reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for a very long time. He's a chronicler of close elections in Wisconsin. And so we're talking about the changing voting habits of the suburbs. And I guess with everything you've kind of documented and analyzed with the data, if I were a political operative or campaign manager of either party, run up to next year, what should people be taking from this change or this data as far as the approach to continue to try to win statewide elections in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so the first thing is, I think from the Republican side, it's going to be very hard to win statewide elections consistently unless you can stop the slide in the suburbs, because there's just, I'm not sure there's enough votes in rural Wisconsin to keep offsetting these growing deficits in the suburbs. And I'm not sure the inroads are there in urban Wisconsin to offset whatever, what the suburban losses have been. So I think you have to stop the slide. Now, what does that mean?
Yeah.
That could mean a lot of different things. I mean, it could be sort of dealing more successfully with the issue of abortion. I think more broadly, it means probably, there's a lot of talk on the Republican side about kind of moving on from Trump, about, kind of a post-Trump Republican Party. That's going to be very tricky. But if your diagnosis is that Trump is hurting the party with these voters, you have to kind of come to grips with that. And whether it's finding the right candidates or whether it's, somehow changing the image of the party in these areas while retaining your support, in the Trumpier parts of the state, that's a real trick. And it's not easy to do. It takes some real skilled political leadership to pull that off.
And it seems too, Craig, like, the GOP is in a real sticky spot when it comes to the Dobbs decision, because this has been their goal for decades and decades. And now to try and back away from this and moderate some of the effects of this 1849 ban, then you're just going to tick off all the people that you've been promising you would do this for.
Exactly. That's why it's kind of a dilemma. It's tricky. And in Wisconsin, obviously, you have the added kind of element of what does the state Supreme Court do?
Mm-hmm.
It has been kind of a trap for Republicans. And, obviously we've seen the effects in 2022 and in the Supreme Court election in 2023. And it's sort of double jeopardy when you put it in the context of some of these broader trends we've been talking about.
I think that for when it comes to, like, as far as the campaign managers and the political operatives, I think from the Democratic side, seeing this slide and seeing different communities going from very red to starting to show blue is getting into those communities, knocking on doors and having conversations with the people that they were afraid to talk to 5-10 years ago, because they were like, well, this is Waukesha. It's red. We're not going to bother with the resources. Now there's proof that shows it's not all red. So why don't we try to find some inroads? But to do that, you got to really put yourself into those communities then and talk to them. Now, Republicans can do the same thing. But I think, like what Craig was saying, is that they're about reshaping their entire message right now, which is going to be harder to do, especially when Trump is on CNN as the only guy running for president, seems like, at a town hall, whereas Democrats can go in and be like, all right, we're going to talk to the people instead. You guys can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. We're going to just have a conversation. I think that's the most important thing they can do, is finding good candidates and talking to the people who live in those communities.
Well, I guess,
yeah, Democrats have their challenges too. I mean, yeah. They have to, and for some suburban voters who are more fiscally conservative, and we've seen in other recent elections around the country, areas where Democrats have been kind of on the wrong side of issues ranging from education to crime in some elections where suburban voters play a big role, you know, the Virginia governor's race, for one. So Democrats have their challenges. I think for Republicans, the degree to which the landscape has shifted from economic issues to cultural issues, and the fact that a lot of suburban voters are, you know, more moderate culturally, I think that's part of the challenge for Republicans in these places.
So then one of the lines that I loved, or at least the two questions you asked in your article that are a little different than just suburbs in general, but you asked, does participation fuel division? Does division boost participation? Have you been able to answer either of those questions?
I think division fuels participation. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, it's so funny when you go back. I mean, as you mentioned, I've been doing this for a long time, and people used to the complaints of political scientists and analysts about politics where people were apathetic and they don't really have coherent ideologies or points of view. And now we're living in an age when people are really partisan and really political, and they turn out like mad to vote, and that feels like a problem. So all of this stuff seems to go together.
Absolutely. And I said the same thing with, you know, with all the money in this last race. I was like, I know we hate this outside money and how much, and it feels like a waste because it just goes to media companies. But also, we had record turnout, and I don't think you can totally ignore that. Everyone knew there was an election going on.
The people we wanted to win won.
Yeah.
Oopsies.
All right. Well, Craig Gilbert, thank you so much for spending time with us today. We will absolutely have you back and follow your work, because it is never boring in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to politics.
Anytime.
Have a great day. All right. Thanks. When we come back, Scott Gordon, publisher of Tone Magazine, will be here when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
That's a thrill. All together fits the bill. Oh, newspapermen are such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the day. Now, publishers are such interesting people. Their policy is an acrobatic thing. They claim to represent the common people. It's funny, Wall Street never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now, publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger. Something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 74. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows around 50. Overcast again tomorrow, slight chance for scattered rain showers, high temperatures reach up to 61. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 41.
We hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She's Jane Metnair. What song was that?
That is This Government Needs an Update by the Beastie.
Yeah. Those boys of Beastie.
Yeah.
They're going places.
And that is Greg Bach that you just heard. And we are joined by Scott Gordon, who is the editor-in-chief and publisher of Tone Madison, an independent website covering culture and politics in Madison, and longtime Twitter follower of me. I follow you. I think you follow me. So fun to actually finally meet you in person.
Yeah, but nice not in person. To meet you. Thanks for having me.
Face-to-face. So you, was this last week? This month. This month you published this article.
Yeah, May 1st.
May 1st. So you published, Wisconsin's local governments need to unapologetically bring the war on preemption. And you basically are saying that now with Protasiewicz's election and win, that one of the things Democrats need to do is challenge the outrageous attack that we've been living under on local government. Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, more or less, you know, and I mean, a lot of the things I'm talking about, of course, were passed, you know, were implemented under Scott Walker. Mm-hmm. You know, there was just this raft of preemption laws that the legislature rammed through to, you know, stick it to cities and more liberal areas. But you know, there are things that predate that, that are preemptions that I, you know, I think we should also get rid of. I mean, there's stuff I talk about in the story that, that Jim Doyle signed. So it's sort of like rolling back some of the things of the Walker era would be nice, but also, you know, a general reset for how local governments are able to address their problems.
So let's
if
they want to. But so I said, this is because actually like reading your article and when you put out the whole list is actually pretty powerful as far as in like kind of thinking of them as one-off. So this is what you included. Wisconsin's local governments currently cannot enact tighter regulations on landlords and rental properties than what is already provided in state law. They cannot enact rent control, period. They can't set minimum wages higher than the state minimum wage at $7.25 an hour. They're barred from creating all sorts of other local protections for workers, including requirements for overtime pay and benefits. They're essentially prohibited from creating public broadband services that have any hope of competing with private monopolies. They can't ban plastic bags. They can't regulate Lyft or Uber. They can't raise property taxes beyond state-imposed limits. Even the state's shared revenue system for municipalities puts them in a bind. No local gun laws. And then just recently, they've proposed new limits on local government's authority to regulate energy sources, a ban on guaranteed income programs like the one happening in Madison that they're currently piloting, and in 2021 proposal was the penalized cities that cut funding for police. And so when you put it all together, like, I think, because I also think there's stuff with, like, surface lots and how much the city can charge for, like, parking, because I remember in Milwaukee, we've always been thinking, like, how can Milwaukee raise more revenue? And it's like, nope, the state actually controls that, too. And so, like, how did we get here? And do you think the average resident realizes that it's not like this in other places?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like we were saying, I mean, part of it was the, you know, was the Republicans having control over the legislature and, you know, Scott Walker being in office for all the time and them getting to just blow through this gigantic wish list of right-wing policies. You know, I think one thing that I link back to in the story is a Journal Sentinel story from 2019 that is really great and something I've ended up kind of looking back to a lot recently. And it's all about the, you know, the landlords who serve in the Wisconsin legislature, including, but not limited to Robin Voss, who, you know, are passing, who have, you know, created all these laws that benefit landlords and essentially benefit themselves. And there's a great part in the piece that says, call it the landlord's legislature. And it's something I'd recommend reading because it's just great context. But it's something that I've been thinking a lot about here in Madison because we are dealing with really a crisis in rental housing and just housing in general. You know, the city needs to create more housing units. Rents are really squeezing people. It was a huge, you know, central issue in our latest local election, which I talked about a bit last time I was on your show with Dan Schaefer co-hosting, guest hosting, sorry. And I think part of it, you know, especially with the, you know, all the rental preemption stuff is that it, you know, impacts people who are considered like, you know, negligible or powerless in a lot of contexts, right? You know, I mean, even on the local level, when there's debates over housing, you know, there's all kinds of mechanisms that tend to give people who own their homes a lot of political clout compared to people who rent. I mean, so part of this is just like it affects, you know, poor renters and even not so poor renters. But, you know, and I think another thing is that we're just so kind of demoralized by all of this that people have kind of lost sight of the fact that like something better is, you know, is possible. And, you know, when I talk about the war on preemption, I'm talking about something that should happen. I'm And I'm not so sure that it will, or if this is something that people are focusing a lot of energy or attention on who are actually in power. You know, we had the Cap Times ran a great cover story today by Allison Garfield that's all about why rents are going up in Madison. And the way that officials in the story talk about it, you know, is that, you know, all we can really try to do is build more housing, which is something that needs to happen anyway, mm-hmm. create more, you know, subsidized and public housing. And there isn't really a lot of talk about, like, well, let's, you know, let's go to the state and try to get some of these things lifted so that we have more options, you know, and more tools. So, I mean, that sense of kind of like resignation and, oh, we're kind of in a bind with this is, you know, kind of understandable with the way that things have gone in this state and in this country, but is, you know, not productive at a certain point.
We're talking to Scott Gordon, who is the editor-in-chief and publisher of Tone Madison, which is a website covering culture and politics in Madison. But so much of this article, I know you speak from a Madison point of view, but certainly we've had different journalists who cover landlords and some of the pervasive like exploitation that happens in Milwaukee. And I know affordable housing everywhere in Wisconsin is an issue right now. And as we have this like shared revenue battle of kind of back against the wall, like either take it or leave it potential situation, like I think it was really important to highlight this as far as it doesn't have to be this way. And so I guess with in writing this and kind of referencing a turning point being with Protasiewicz, who will be inaugurated in August, is it hinged on like being able to push back on like preemption like this or what you're calling for? Is it hinged on new maps, or is there also legal routes to challenge some of these things that have nothing to do with the maps?
Well, I would argue, and I, you know, didn't get super into the weeds with legal strategy in this piece because that's really not my kind of area of expertise. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of more getting into like what I want people to do with the power that they have, you know. But I would argue that with some things, the Wisconsin Constitution, while it does give the state legislature pretty broad power to, you know, pass preemption laws, it also talks about local governments having the ultimate kind of having some power in their own affairs, of course. And it says, you know, the legislature has the ultimate power when it comes to matters of statewide concern. And when you think about that, that is really broad terminology, you know, and you could kind of fudge it to argue that anything is statewide. So, you know, could the courts kind of say like, hey, the legislature has to apply this idea of a statewide concern in a way that's a little less indiscriminate? You know, I mean, someone saying like, oh, Madison has too many regulations on landlords, or, you know, or this city, we don't want them banning plastic bags. I think it's a bit of a stretch to call that a matter of statewide concern. So yeah. That's one aspect. And the other thing is, like, you know, if anything is, if we learned anything the last, you know, 10 years or so, it's that if the Wisconsin Supreme Court wants to be just really brazen and political about things, it can kind of just do what it wants. And, you know, maybe, you know, I think, I mean, there's a point where people are going to have to, like, if we're going to like push back against, you know, all the different specific policies that, you know, Republicans have ramped through in Wisconsin, and, you know, all the, you know, problems that they created with, you know, just sort of the erosion of democracy. And if we're going to push back against this like broader, you know, rise of, you know, kind of fascism in America, then people are going to have the stomach to kind of use their power in a way that's a little more brazen to push back against this, you know, this kind of stuff. I just don't see sitting around and waiting for all of the parties involved to like just kind of follow the rules and be polite at some point isn't going to work. So yeah, I'm essentially saying that cities should get together and sue to have a bunch of this stuff thrown out, and that the incoming majority on the court should throw it out. And, you know, it's obviously no guarantee of what happens in higher courts as things get appealed through there, but it just seems like, you know, something that they've got to kind of bring the fight on.
And so I guess, because you end it We need to take back the power for our communities. We need to use it to improve quality of life for the people struggling in our cities. We need to do with we need to do all with big goals, a caring vision, and no apologies. And I guess when you say that, who is we?
I mean, I guess if you wanted to put it in the most idealistic terms possible, then just like, you know, the people of the states as okay. as a body, you know, which I know is kind of broad, but just like, but you know, also people who haven't felt, who haven't been well served or well represented, you know, especially in, you know, the last decade or so of Wisconsin politics, and in some cases people who haven't been well served or well represented in politics ever. Yeah, I mean, just people who are trying to build something that isn't, you know, restricted by the values of you know of the right, if you can call them values.
so I feel like, because is it then, because I mean I've read it and it makes a lot of sense, like the more, like since coming back and understanding like the list of things we just said, like what cities can and cannot do, and just this like controlling like nanny state of like, well no, we get to decide because we're in charge. That feels really frustrating, but it feels like it's not top of mind for a lot of voters. And so, like, is it become, like, more thought pieces like this, or, like, more organizational campaigns? Or, like, what are, like, the actual steps to get people, like, angry and fired up about this, do you think?
I mean, connecting this to things that people are already fired up about and are trying to rally around, I mean, especially in a place like Madison, you know, the housing issue, people, there's already been some momentum to make some good, you know, policy changes at the local level that would help, you know, create like more density and create more housing stock. Mm-hmm. I would argue that doesn't go like anywhere near far enough, but kind of saying like, hey, this sort of, you know, admittedly kind of like obscure mechanism that Republicans have used is really important. And I mean, another thing that we've obviously learned a lot about from the Walker era is that Republicans were smart enough to realize that all these sorts of unsexy forms of state government power were really, really useful. And, you know, and they built up their power in that department and then used it, you know, as blatantly as possible. So just kind of, I'm not sure how well that answers the question,
yeah.
But I think it's, you know, these are things that you can really connect, you know, directly to things that are materially affecting people's lives right now. I mean, everyone I know in Madison who is like, you know, scrambling to look for housing for, you know, for August and dealing with rising rents and just feeling the pinch. I mean, that's a huge problem here. And to be able to say like, we should challenge this so that we have the latitude to do something, you know, to fix these problems, and we should, you know, push our local officials to actually stick up for us on these things.
I got to cut you off against the break. But Scott Gordon, thank you so much for joining us. Check out Tone Madison. We'll put the link in our show notes for today. Thanks so much for joining us, Scott.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
2020. That's the vision at Holtebeck Eye Center. At Holtebeck Eye Center, they provide the most professional and compassionate care in the industry, from your first call to follow-up after treatment. If you've been dreaming of seeing clearly again, Dr. Holtebeck can restore your vision with expert care and attention to issues like cataracts, glaucoma, and diabetes complications. You'll not only see better, but feel better too. Don't wait any longer. Improve your eyesight. Visit Holtebeck.com. That's Holtebeck.com.
When it comes to hair and makeup artistry, there is only one salon that you need, Raven and Blonde. Their stylists are passionate about their work and committed to giving you the best service possible. From precision cuts to perms, balayage to dimensional color service and more, the Raven and Blonde stylists do it all. Book your appointment today at ravenandblonde.com. That's ravenandblonde.com. Raven and Blonde, where hair and makeup artistry meets exceptional service. 157 South First Street, Milwaukee.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home.
Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies today with highs around 72. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows level off around 56. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow, high of 64, overcast. Upper 60s Saturday, warmer on Sunday with highs in the mid 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul.
Waukesha's famous farmer's market.
And the Shaw, WAUK.
When I'm in the car, I'm always listening.
All you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when the grin should start.
Now you get the idea.
We've got hope. We don't sit around and...
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. He is Greg Bach. And we got Brewers tickets to give away.
Yes, Da-da-da-da. We do.
This is, feels so fun. Like 10th caller gets... It's not 10th caller, but you know what I mean? Like that old-timey radio thing of like, you know, you have it.
Is this the first time we're giving tickets away when you're here?
Yeah.
Oh, super fun.
I feel so special.
Well, the Brewers will be hosting the Houston Astros in Milwaukee next Monday through Wednesday. And we have two pairs of two tickets. Yep. So that's what a pair is. We have two pairs of tickets to give away for Monday's game. The first pitch is at 6:40 p.m. And a reminder, you can hear the Brewers game if you can't go to the Brewers game on our Milwaukee Brewers by tuning into our flagship Brewers station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM. Which is throughout the Fox Valley. Wow. And you can also listen and catch the game on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center on 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. And so we are going to do, because you are a big Brewers fan.
I am a big Brewers fan.
That is, you don't know who A.J. Dillon is, but
who cares?
You do like the Brewers.
Yeah.
And so I thought I'd let you come up with a trivia question.
Oh, it's...
And so we'll see if we can get someone to. You had an easy one though, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's a. I feel like it's an easy one. We'll see though. If people complain, I'm going to blame this on AJ Dillon.
Blame it on AJ Dillon, yeah, and his new baby
and the rain. I'm going to blame it on the rain. Okay. The question is for two tickets
for Monday night's game at 6:40
against the Houston Cheaters. The Brewers were originally from which city?
Okay.
The Brewers were originally from which city?
844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. The first caller to get that question right will win tickets for Monday night. And actually, maybe you'll see Greg Bach at the game, because Greg Bach will be at the game on Monday night.
I will be there.
I wonder if you can win these, because we have really good tickets.
Really?
They're club level.
I want... Oh, what?
Yeah, the Civic Media tickets are club level.
Can I just say, hey, higher-ups, can I have some good tickets?
I think, well, you have to listen to my show, actually, on the days when you're not here,
wrong.
And then you can win them.
No, that's not how this works. I get to exploit my connections. Because my friends who work in radio, they're like, hey, you want some tickets? I got tickets to the show. You want to go see a show? Yeah, just give me tickets. Hey. Higher ups at Civic Media. Money, please. Tickets, please. I'm a Brewers fan. I'll do it. I'll go to the game. I'll wear a t-shirt for the radio station. Give me some good tickets.
Okay.
I've got real, real animated about that.
All right. Well, we're going to keep it open. So what's the question?
The question is, the Milwaukee Brewers were originally from which city?
All right. So if we don't get a question, we still have two more days before Monday. So we can give, if we don't get an answer, then we'll try to give them away tomorrow, or we'll give them away on Friday. But
or
today we are doing a trivia question, because that's the rules for today.
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. There we go.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you're going to the game.
I am going to the game. I don't know what kind
How
of
many games have you gone to so far this year?
Just one. I've gone to one so far. And so, we lost.
And we lost a lot the other
day. I do not want to talk about that.
Okay.
Because I have a friend who's a Cardinals fan, and Oh, the messages she was sending me were so passive aggressive. She's like, I'm loving this. I'm like, I will come to
is
your home.
Is that passive aggressive or is that just rubbing it in?
Yeah, it's because you're right. She was rubbing it in, but she was like oh, this is really fun. Because the Cardinals this season have been monumentally terrible. Like, awful.
Oh.
This is not a Brewers fan saying that. This is a human who can read numbers. They've been bad. But they crushed the Brewers 18-1.
Yeah, I was going to say 18 is remarkable. I mean,
and then she goes, well, maybe that'll be all the runs we score in the series. I'm like, well, maybe that should be all the runs you score in the month. 18-1. That's just it. I feel like at 15, you call the game. You just call the game.
Like the mercy rules elementary school.
Hey, everybody, just, you know.
Do they have mercy rules in professional sports?
No, they do not.
That would be something to see, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It would,
like, all these pros, just take your bat and go home. It's over.
Do we think, what's an interesting question? How do you feel about mercy rules for kids' sports?
I mean,
at what age or what level of competition are mercy rules? It's like, too bad. You've got to get embarrassed now. Sorry.
I think below high school, there should be some, like, there should be varying levels. So, like, they're little kids. Yes. And it should be a quick death. Just like, oh, this team is winning 20-1 and we've been playing for 4 minutes. Game's over. Get your orange slices. We ain't coming back. But I think in high school and above, no mercy rules. You should just.
So freshman volleyball, no mercy rules.
No, especially volleyball, never mercy. I'm a competitive player in the volleyball.
Are you? Oh,
a different Greg comes about.
I didn't know that you liked volleyball. I'm, for as tall as I am, terrible at volleyball.
I sack the bot all the time when I play the volleyball.
Interesting. Once again, we are giving away Brewers tickets. Between now and the end of the show, the first person to be able to answer the question.
The Milwaukee Brewers were originally from which city?
So if you can answer that question, you can win tickets for a Monday's night game at 6:40 p.m. against the Houston Cheaters, also known as the Houston Astros. And you can always listen to the Milwaukee Brewers on Civic Media's flagship Brewers station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. And listeners can also listen to the Brewers on WRCE News from the Center, Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. Do we have a contestant?
Mike from Stevens Point joining us on Ask Us Wisconsin. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing great. Do you know?
Mike, do you want me to restate the question? I will restate the question. Mike, the Milwaukee Brewers were originally from which city?
Seattle, Washington, I believe.
Correct.
Done.
Congratulations, Mike. Coming in from Stevens Point.
Do we state another question for the other pair of tickets then? Or is just two tickets we're giving
away? We're just two tickets. We'll give two tickets away tomorrow.
Mike, you are the winner. You're going to take me, right? I knew it, Mike. No? Okay. Awesome. Cut him off. He's done.
All right.
Mike, don't hang up.
Yeah, Mike, Jane will get all your information for Monday night, but have so much fun.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Enjoy.
All right. Well, then we are going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, Rabbi Moshe Stegman is going to be here. And we're going to talk about his organization, Own Your Judaism. And then at 1:30, we're actually going to be talking to Lindsay Rausch, who is part of the Galvin family, who has of a family of 12 kids, six of whom were diagnosed with schizophrenia. And so she has an incredible story, and that's actually what was featured in the best-selling book, Hidden Valley Road. And so she will be joining us at 1:30. So stick around. We still got a lot of show left. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Of course, but keep that old horse before the car.
Who minds them pop bottles flying?
The hisses and boos.
The team.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.